Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
Once again, today our life study is dealing with Joseph at the end of Genesis. A message from chapter 42 awaits us, and with us to fellowship about this wonderful portion is Francis Ball. Francis, welcome back.
Thank you very much. This is a wonderful portion.
We have a message today that really is a continuation of our last program, and I think that, Francis, we may need a short review of the story of Joseph and how we have been so marvelously seeing him as a perfect and full type of Christ.
Joseph, probably more than any other, is a full type of Christ. Joseph was the favored son of Jacob. He even made him a coat of many colors, you remember. And that was one of the things that irritated his brothers. And Joseph went through a lot of experiences that really typify Christ. For example, he had a couple of dreams that were really quite exalting, you might say. He saw sheaves bowing down to his sheaf, and he saw sun and the moon and the stars honoring and worshiping him. So he had some dreams that typifies Christ. The brothers of Joseph didn't believe in his dreams and even ridiculed him for them. And the brothers of the Lord Jesus, that is the Israelites, they didn't believe the words of Jesus either, and they ridiculed him. Eventually, Joseph's brothers put him in a pit, in a place of death, and the brothers of the Lord Jesus put him in the place of death, even on the cross. Joseph came out of that place of death and became the ruler in all of the earth as the supplier of food. The Lord Jesus came from the cross in resurrection and was eventually exalted to the right hand of God and became the supplier of food for the whole earth. In Joseph's time, there was a famine over the whole earth. Only he had the food. And don't you think that we're in a world that's in a famine now? And the only place to get food is to come to Christ. The only place the world could get food in Joseph's day was to come to his storehouse. Now today, the only place we can get food is the storehouse of Christ, where his riches are made available to us. I was out in a dissatisfied, empty, hungry, starving place. But when I came to Christ, I got all my heart satisfied, because I learned to take Christ as my food.
Joseph had dreams where he was the exalted one and really the center of God's purpose, and his brothers rejected his dreams utterly and mistreated him. And we know Christ is really the one who is exalted and the center of God's purpose. But his brothers, who Witness Lee in this coming section is going to identify as Israel, also rejected and mistreated him.
Right.
This is a wonderful realization in his word. Let's join Witness Lee for this very insightful life study.
Now the nation of Israel is still struggling there by itself, not realizing that it needs to turn to Christ. Someday they will be forced to turn to Christ. By that time, I tell you, Christ will put some test upon them. The 10 brothers came to Joseph, but they didn't recognize Joseph. Verse 8 of this chapter says, Joseph knew them, but they didn't know Joseph.
Amen.
So Joseph put them on test. This is a type when Israel will be forced to turn to Christ. Christ will put them on test. He is expecting to see the turning of the nation of Israel. Yet, when the nation of Israel turns to him, he will not only test them, but also give them some discipline. According to prophecy, you could see this nation of Israel, reformed one, will suffer a lot of test. And it will suffer a lot of discipline. While Joseph was disciplining his brethren, secretly, he loved them. He extended his love to them in a secret way. And this secret way scared them to death. In the fulfillment of the prophecy concerning Israel, the sovereign Lord will provide the little nation of Israel whatever it needs for its existence. He is the King of Kings, and He is the Lord of the Lords. He is above all the presidents. The Lord is going to test them, to discipline them, and at the same time to extend His secret and sovereign love to them, because the Lord needs them. Do you think the brothers need Joseph more? Or Joseph needs the brothers more? I would answer, Joseph needed the brothers more. Yes, Joseph became the ruler there. Joseph was not satisfied. Joseph was expecting to see the fulfillment of his dreams. Joseph was expecting to see his father with all his brothers. Joseph was only there in Egypt. He needed the fulfillment of dreams. He needed his father. He needed his brothers more than what his brother needed. Today, the principle is the same. Whose need is bigger? Jesus Christ's need or the need of nation Israel? Whose is bigger? You say,
the Lord.
I agree with you. You need the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And the Lord Jesus needs you.
Amen.
Would you tell me whose need is bigger?
The Lord Jesus.
If you know this, you can tell Lord Jesus how I thank you.
Amen.
You have taken care of my need. But Lord, do you know I like to tell you that I do realize your need of me is much bigger. Even this morning, I'm a little concerned. So many among us are still ignorant of the Lord's love.
Yeah.
Why or how you are here this morning? Just because of your determination? No, it's all together because He loves you.
Amen.
Lord, thank you for your love, Lord.
Yeah.
My presence before you is a strong proof, Lord, you love me.
Francis, there is an obvious point about how Joseph was testing his brothers in this portion. But I think the crucial item has more to do with how the Lord desperately needs us. Francis, this takes some genuine renewing of our mind to get this kind of view that as much as we need Him, He also needs us as well.
Yes, this is a very, very interesting point and a little hard for us to accept and realize, to think that Christ needs us more than we need Him. This story about Joseph is a very good illustration and a type of that kind of need. Joseph discovered who he was, I believe, through all his experiences, and now he's in a reigning position in Egypt, and his brothers come to him because they need him. They're forced to come to him because he has the only supply of food in the whole earth. And when they come there, they don't recognize him. He's the one that they actually put in the place of death and got rid of. But now here he is as the second in rule in Egypt with the food supply to meet the need of the whole earth. But Joseph needs something himself. They needed him, but he needed them, because he dreamed that those brothers would bow down to him. No way was there for Joseph's view of what God had showed him in his dreams to be fulfilled without his brothers. Now here they are bowing down to him. And that didn't happen for over 20-some years. That means he needs them, and they need him. This is a good picture that God's purpose cannot be fulfilled without us. And certainly we cannot have satisfaction without him. So we need Christ, but in a very real sense, he needs us even more because his purpose is even greater. Ours is to be saved, not to go to hell, but his love is to save us because he needs us to express him on the earth and fulfill his eternal purpose.
This is a marvelous and profound view to what, for many, has probably just been an old simple Bible story, Francis. There's more of it ahead. Let's rejoin Witness Lee.
Now we come to the Lion of Life. When I was there, writing on Genesis 42, the Lord seemed to tell me, don't you think at that time Joseph was more than happy when he saw the fulfillment of his dreams? You know, he saw the dreams when he was 17. And now the dream came to pass in fulfillment when he was 40. And this means what? 20 years passed. He didn't see the fulfillment. After he saw the dreams, he was betrayed. Following the betrayal, he was imprisoned. Then after the imprisonment, he was put in the throne. Even in the throne, about 10 years passed. He didn't see the fulfillment of his dreams. That long period of test should have exhausted his patience. Eventually, the 10 brothers came to Joseph. Have you seen the calmness of Joseph? He was not excited at all. His blood didn't boil. It's hard to keep your blood cold. Who can do this? Who can do this? The one with the rulership of the spirit.
Amen.
The ruling aspect of a mature life knows how to be calmed down. Even under the most exciting situation, you don't get excited at all. Of course, you would say, didn't Joseph get out to weep? He was human. Yet even by that way of his weeping, you can realize what kind of self-ruling person he was. He was not a piece of stone. He was a human person, full of temperament, full of sentiment. No one, I do believe, beside Joseph, could stand that exciting situation. Just that nothing happened. Have you seen? This is the ruling life. This is the victorious life.
Francis, this is quite amazing to see Joseph's reaction. He's seeing his brothers here for the first time after a long separation. And also, he's seeing the fulfillment of the dream that has so affected his life. Yet, in this moment, he is in full control of his emotions. And he even has the maturity to seize the opportunity to discipline his brothers in a loving way. What does this show us about the kind of person that Joseph has become?
You know, with Joseph, you can't find any flaw in his life. As far as the record is concerned, he was perfect. And he is the very type of Christ as one who was rejected, considered put out of the way, gotten rid of, by his brothers. Now they're forced to come to this one whom they've forgotten, whom they thought was gone. They're forced to come to him for food. And when they come to him, they don't know him, but he knows them. Can you imagine what kind of feeling that must have been in Joseph when he saw his 11 brothers standing there before him and even bowing to him? That was the fulfillment of his dream. When he saw those sheaves bowing down to him, and when he saw the sun and the moon and the stars honoring him, this was the fulfillment of that dream. Don't you think that would make you excited? So in this kind of way, we see Joseph not excited, rather in full control. Here is one who is really reigning in life, reigning in his spirit, controlling his feelings, because, as we saw, he took those brothers through a test, and to help them to see, mainly. He knew what he was doing, but they didn't know what he was doing, but he was testing them.
Yeah, it was a test, but we're going to see in this coming section, Francis, that he was concealing his glory from them as well. This is a marvelous point. Let's join Witness Lee for the conclusion of the life study, and then we'll be back for more fellowship.
You thief didn't rush up to tell his brothers what a kind of glory he was in. He didn't say anything until the third trip, when Joseph exposed himself to them, and they recognized Joseph, and just asked them to go back to bring the father. Until that time, Joseph never exposed his glory to his brothers. I tell you, to conceal your glory is harder, more difficult than to hold back yourself from excitement. You may be successful to hold back yourself from the excitement, but I would say nearly no possibility for anyone not to expose the glory he was in. Joseph, he didn't show his glory to his brothers. It was not an easy thing. Now, why we say that Joseph represents the reigning aspect of the mature life? This is the reason. In the record of his life, you could see his qualification to be such a ruler, to control himself, not to be excited, not to expose his glory, not to mention his glory. It's not so easy until our natural man, our self, has undergone a soul dealing. No one can do this. Here is a man who are thoroughly dealt with and living in there the control of the lordship of the spirit. And this man was qualified to be the reigning aspect of the mature life. Our intention here in all these life studies is to help us to realize what is life, what is the way of life. And this life manifested here is not the natural life. Not the human life. No need to say not the fallen life. It's not even the good natural life. This life here is no doubt the resurrection life. The life of God. You can see such a life here. And that kind of exciting situation. No looseness. At all. This is life. Amen. Now, what is the way of life? You do have the way of life here. The way of life is to keep yourself under the control. Don't think that Joseph was not a human being. I do believe, as such a high person, he should be full of sentiments. He wept. That was a sign of his sentiment. But anyhow, he kept himself with all his sentiments under the rulership of the Spirit. You need such a way, and you need such a life. A life that is the reigning aspect of a mature person. Not easily to be excited. Not empt a pity to show your growth. Rather, under any kind of excitement, you would be calm and hold yourself back and conceal your glory. This is a lesson, I believe.
Well, Francis Witness Lee made a statement very near the end of today's broadcast, and I want to make note of it. He said, "Our intention in all these life studies is to help us realize what is life and what is the way of life." And that is really the perfect synopsis of the scope of our program. We have another graphic example of the way of life as seen in Joseph, and this in the way that he concealed his glory. Touch this wonderful and deep point for us.
This is certainly the way of life, the way of the divine life, the way of the life that we receive when we receive the Lord Jesus. Even the Lord Jesus would not display his glory prematurely. Even like Joseph, even though all the evidence was there that this is his wonderful opportunity to display his glory, he held it back for their sake, and he held back manifesting really who he was and what had happened. The Lord Jesus, you know, he was tested a number of times to display his glory. Even when he was on the cross, they mocked at him and said, "If you're the Son of God, come down from the cross." He wouldn't do it. He wouldn't display his glory in that way. This is life. This is the maturity of life. With Joseph, it's shown forth. With the Lord Jesus, it is just in his plan and purpose to display his glory at the right time in the right way. And he said in his last prayer on the earth, before he went to the cross, he said, "Father, glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you." His glory was going to the cross to open up his whole being to manifest that he is the Savior of the world. So the glory of Christ was to be crucified and to be resurrected and to be the supply of himself as food to the whole earth. And this was what was shown in Joseph's life.
Well, Francis, this life study today has opened up this portion of the Word in just a tremendous way. I don't know what else to say. It seems like daily I'm just astounded at the riches unveiled in His Word.
I also.
There is a hunger for the riches of God's Word, and we are so grateful before Him to be able to bring you this portion every day. For Francis Ball, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you for listening today.